Hello, Dove. Jasmine is here with me. She has something she'd like to say before she goes off to bed. Jasmine?
Don't forget, I'm teaching on Friday at 3 after my mommy.
Yeah, and what are you teaching, Jasmine?
Mark.
Yeah, the NTI mark, exactly. Okay, come here, give me a kiss.
All right. Mwah. Good night, everyone.
Yeah, she's running off to bed, but yeah, she wanted to remind everyone that she's teaching for the first time this Friday at 3 p.m. She's received lots of emails of support from people, which is really exciting. Also, Dove mentioned that he would let me talk about Be the Love 08, so I will do that. As he said, Be the Love 08 is a conference that Pamela Silberman, Richard Dignan, and I are planning together. We do have several facilitators lined up already, including John Mundy, John Mulrooney, Scott Kalickstein, Cheryl Valentine, Mary Beth Scalisi, Victoria Eisner, who is actually a spiritual dance teacher, and then Richard Dignan, Pamela Silberman, and me. And there may be, and Resta Burnham. We can't forget beloved Resta. And there may be another facilitator or possibly a couple added, but that's what we have so far. And if anybody wants to learn more or wants to register, you just go to www.bethelove.us, and everything you need is right there. And of course, if you have any questions, you know, feel free to email me or Pamela, and we'd be more than happy to answer your questions. Tonight we are here for Holy Spirit Guides, so we'll be going to www.reginadonacres.com. Here's that link for you. You can click on that link if you want to. And when you get to reginadonacres.com, we're in May 2005. This is Holy Spirit Guides, which is the name of this teaching session. I've been doing it, I don't know, for a few months now. I don't remember exactly when we started, but this is what we did was we began at the beginning of reginadonacres.com with the very first thing I ever received from the Holy Spirit in July of 2004. And we've just been moving forward through it in chronological order. It was a suggestion of a friend of mine. And I'm having a lot of fun because I have not gone back and reviewed these messages. So it's a lot of fun going back and looking at them again. And as I mentioned, today we're beginning in May 2005. And when you get to May 2005, you just want to scroll down a little bit. We are ready for the message that was posted on Monday, May 30th, and it is called I Am. So that's where I will begin reading. What I would like to do, of course, is give this reading to the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, that we may see whatever it is that we need to see and realize whatever it is that we need to realize, because we are forever interested in accepting the atonement for ourselves, and we are grateful for any help that Holy Spirit will give us in removing the obstacles to love's presence and accepting the truth as true. I'd like to remind all of you that you are a part of the flow. And so if you feel guided to say anything or ask anything, please raise your hand and I will turn the mic over to you. So what I am going to do, if no one has any questions or anything before I get started, I'll just begin reading. Again, I'm reading from Monday, May 30th, 2005. Now is not the time for you. It is the time for I Am. Say to yourself, I am my brother. I am happiness. I am that one I call the Holy Spirit. I am. I am now. Close your eyes and feel these words. Feel the truth and meaning behind them. Open up to receive me as you, ending duality and making these words meaningless by making these words the same. I am. I am now. This is what you are asking for today, and this is what already is. So you have already received. Rejoice and be happy, for it is so. And again, back in May 2005, I as yet had no understanding of oneness, none whatsoever. I was able to read A Course in Miracles, and I was able to read the words, but within my own experience, my own experience was still purely separation at this point. So what I was doing was giving willingness to see or understand or experience our oneness, but I did not yet see, understand, or experience our oneness. So I am certain that when the Holy Spirit said things to me like, this is what you are asking for today, that I would have agreed with. I was asking for that kind of vision. But when Holy Spirit went on to say, and this is what already is, I probably felt a pain in writing that. I felt a pain because it wasn't my experience yet, and I really didn't know if it was true. But what I always did was I always gave my willingness. And I noticed Mary Ellen's in the room. She just popped into the room. She made a beautiful post. I believe it was yesterday, although I lose track of time. I believe it was yesterday about willingness, about how important willingness is. And I made a post back to her saying something like, amen, sister. Because what I've learned through my experience is that willingness is everything. If there's something that we do not understand, something that is very difficult for us to grasp, something we're feeling a lot of resistance towards the idea, really all we need to do is start with willingness. And as we go with willingness and continue giving willingness, what willingness really is, which I know Dove loves to repeat this, I've heard him repeat it a few times, willingness is really the will of the Son of God in diapers. It's like a baby. It's like our will, but it's a baby. It starts off as a tiny spark. And what happens as we nurse this baby, as we nurse this spark, as we nurse this willingness, is it grows. Through our own desire, this willingness grows and grows and grows until eventually it is will. And when the Son of God wills for something, the Son of God receives. So as we give willingness, for example, to see, understand, experience our oneness, and we continue to give that willingness, and we continue to nurse it through our desire, at one point it becomes will, and we then have that experience. We see, know, understand, experience our oneness. And the Holy Spirit gave me messages like the one that I'm reading now through my willingness to have that experience. And then as I would practice these messages with that heartfelt willingness, this is how I nursed that willingness. This is how that willingness grew. So even though I was not yet having experiences of oneness, these are the stepping stones that led to those experiences. So the gratitude that I have for these simple, simple messages, I really cannot express, because these were the messages that nourished my willingness and helped it grow to the will so that I could have the experience of oneness. So let me just read this message again. Now is not the time for you. It is the time for I am. Say to yourself, I am my brother. I am happiness. I am that one I call the Holy Spirit. I am. I am now. Close your eyes and feel these words. Feel the truth and meaning behind them. Open up to receive me as you. Ending duality and making these words meaningless by making these words the same. And I love that, you know, because what he's really saying is that the words brother, happiness, Holy Spirit, I am, and the word now, that all those words are the same. And in fact, at this time, of course, I didn't have any experience at all to comprehend how brother, happiness, Holy Spirit, now could all be the same thing. But as many of you know, recently Laurent and I received the message of the code from the Holy Spirit, and the message of the code really explains how everything within our experience now is the same, because it explains how everything is ideas, how a manifestation such as a table or a body is an idea, a feeling is an idea, a thought is an idea, and it really helps to make everything the same. So, you know, even way back in 2005, Holy Spirit was pointing me in the direction of these profound messages that I'm receiving now. But then I did not have enough willingness, or my willingness was not grown enough to have received the types of messages that I'm receiving now. To be honest, a few weeks ago when the code came, I had extreme difficulty writing it down. My willingness was barely there. I think you may have heard me tell the story that I wrote it down in great pain, physical pain, as I was writing the message of the code. And then after I wrote it, what I really wanted to do was rip it up and throw it away. As soon as I finished writing it, I wanted to rip it up and throw it away. But what I did instead was I took the spiral notebook and I threw it in a cabinet and closed the door, you know, which I don't remember ever doing before, but I wanted to get that notebook completely out of my sight. So even when I finally wrote the message of the code, the willingness that it took to write it was barely there. But even with that, I continued to nurse that willingness. In the afternoon, I still hadn't pulled the notebook out, but Laurent wanted to know what I had written that morning. And so in great annoyance, because I was still feeling pain, with great annoyance, I started telling him about the message, which kind of led to a little bit of back and forth between him and me that was not at all comfortable. And what I did is I noticed this uncomfortable situation we were in trying to discuss this message, which I was still refusing to pull out of the cabinet and actually read. It's so funny now, the resistance I had. But as I was noticing, you know, the struggle that Laurent and I were having just trying to discuss it, I remembered another message that the Holy Spirit had given me about replacing fear images with a newer image. And I realized that resistance is fear. And that what I was seeing now happening between Laurent and I was really a fear image. It was the manifestation of my resistance towards the message of the code. So what I decided to do was nurse my willingness some more. I may have had enough willingness to write the message of the code, but I was not yet having enough willingness to have clarity on the message of the code. So I took the image that was in front of me, the image of Laurent and I, you know, annoyingly discussing this message that I wouldn't read, and I replaced it in my mind with an image of Laurent and I receiving complete clarity together at the same time on this message. And I really held to that image in my mind. And that, of course, was letting that willingness grow, that willingness to accept the message of the code. And then what happened that night is he and I finally did pull the message out. I was willing enough to pull the message out, and we read it together. We went over it for 2.5 hours, and we received profound clarity, which then led to me having the experience later that same evening of the Big Bang. And if you all have heard that teaching about the code and the Big Bang, you know it's absolutely profound. I've received more comments from you all on the message of the code than any other message that's ever come through me. So it's an incredibly profound message, which brings a whole lot of clarity to the mind. But this message right here, I am, was already pointing in that direction. When it says, open up to receive me as you, ending duality and making these words meaningless by making these words the same. Already the Holy Spirit was pointing me in that direction and teaching me to give that willingness so that someday I could have the clarity that I am achieving, that I am receiving, that I am realizing now. So let me just start again with this, since I stopped in the middle and talked a little bit. Now is not the time for you. It is the time for I am. Say to yourself, I am my brother. I am happiness. I am that one I call the Holy Spirit. I am. I am now. Close your eyes and feel these words. Feel the truth and meaning behind them. Open up to receive me as you, ending duality and making these words meaningless by making these words the same. I am. I am now. This is what you are asking for today, and this is what already is. So you have already received. Rejoice and be happy, for it is so. Wonderful, wonderful message. And just another comment that popped into my mind about willingness as I was reading that for the last time. Some of you may know that NTI is being published by O Books. The Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament is being published by O Books. When it came time to have the book published, the question was asked, should my name be on the cover? This was asked by the publisher. And I had already felt that it shouldn't be, but I went to Holy Spirit when the publisher was asking the question, and I received an answer from the Holy Spirit, which I think is a beautiful, beautiful answer. The Holy Spirit did not want my name on the cover, but what the Holy Spirit said, which was written down and given to the publisher, the Holy Spirit said, "The scribe is nothing except a symbol of what can be accomplished through willingness." I thought that was such a beautiful, beautiful sentence that I've never, ever forgotten it. The scribe is nothing except a symbol of what can be accomplished through willingness. So it absolutely showed that there is nothing at all special about the scribe. The scribe is nothing. The scribe is nothing, the Holy Spirit said. But the symbol of what can be accomplished through willingness, that really showed what we can all do. In fact, it reminds me of what Jesus said in the New Testament when he said that we would do greater things than him. What we can do through willingness will boggle our own minds. It will amaze us. So as Mary Ellen posted on the NTI discussion group yesterday, willingness is everything. Just keep giving willingness, and you never know what will happen through you. All right, so if we scroll up then, we're going to scroll up in May 2005. We're going to Tuesday, May 31st, 2005, the last day of May. And it's called A Conversation About Two Movies. And off the top of my head, I don't remember what the two movies were. Oh, looks like one of them was Fargo. I don't know if you guys have seen Fargo. It's a great movie. And what was the other movie? Do I have that here? Oh, the other movie was called My Name is Joe. So I had seen two movies, Fargo and My Name is Joe. And I think I mentioned to you all that at this time I was really big on watching movies through guidance. That what I would do is, before walking through the doors of the video store, I would say a prayer to Holy Spirit and ask Holy Spirit to guide me to the film or films that he wanted me to watch. And then when I walked in, I did not think at all. I would feel, literally feel within my body, whether to go right or left, which direction to walk, which aisle to walk down, and when to stop. And then the very first film that my eyes landed on, that is the one that I checked out. And I used no judgment. I didn't read the back of the video and think, do I want this? Do I not want this? I just took it and went. And I saw a lot of films I would not have ever picked out through my own judgment, through my own preferences, through my own tastes. But every single film that I watched had a very important message for me. So it looks like I had watched two movies. I don't know why I wasn't at work, because it's a Tuesday. Oh, I do. Probably Monday was probably Memorial Day, right? So I probably had a three-day weekend. That's how I watched two movies. And now this is Tuesday morning after the three-day weekend. And so I probably did not, it looks like I didn't see what I was supposed to get out of these two movies right away. I had watched them and the message wasn't as clear, so I decided to go to Holy Spirit and ask. So my question is, what would you have me learn from the movie Fargo? What would you have me realize from this symbol? And the Holy Spirit answered, "My name is Joe must come first. You saw it first, and it is that movie I would have you hold in your mind first." So I was asking about Fargo, but Holy Spirit wanted to talk about My Name is Joe. So then I asked, "What would you have me realize from that movie?" And the Holy Spirit answered, "You no longer want the life you chose before. There was a time that you wanted it." And I said, "Yes, I see that I wanted it before. I liked being the me that I made." And this is really a timely time for Holy Spirit and I to be having this conversation, because as I mentioned, this was May 31st. So by this time, I had agreed to leave my job. agreed, I'd already sold my house, I'd already purchased a house in North Carolina, and I was about 3 weeks away from, maybe 4 weeks away from leaving the Boston area where I had lived and built my life and moving here to North Carolina to follow the Holy Spirit's guidance. So it's really a great time for the Holy Spirit to be talking to me about the fact that I loved my life, but that it was time to let that life go now. So again, the Holy Spirit is saying to me, you no longer want the life you chose before. There was a time that you wanted it. And I said, yes, I see that I wanted it before. I liked being the me that I made. And Holy Spirit answered. And I'll tell you, there was, even though I was following guidance, I was totally willing. In fact, I really wanted nothing more than to follow guidance and leave my job and leave Boston and go where Holy Spirit wanted me to go. But there was a sadness around it. I did love my life in Boston, and I cried leaving my job, and I cried saying goodbye to my friends. And even now, I love it that the place that calls me back the most for gatherings is Boston. I get to go to Boston more than any other place, and I consider that a little kiss from the Holy Spirit letting me go back there. But there was a lot of sadness, the letting go. There were still things there that I really valued. So I was letting go, but there was a sadness associated with the letting go of the old life. Holy Spirit answers, yes, but now you must let it go, and it must be a quick and complete relinquishment. You cannot hold on to part of it and let it go at the same time. To hold on to part of it is to keep it, and to keep it is death. So I understood that message, that it was time for me to let go of this life and move forward with the Holy Spirit. So then I asked, and Fargo, how does that movie connect to this message? Holy Spirit said, Fargo shows you the trap that you are tempted to hold on to. It is the trap of specialness. It is the desire to keep something for yourself alone. There is nothing that you can keep for yourself alone if you are to relinquish self and embrace and remember your true self. Give all to all. Give your brother your gratitude. Give him your patience. Share with him your love and your wisdom and embrace his. It is all the same. Your glory is his glory, and his glory is yours. Celebrate your glory together. Enjoy it. Feast on it together. It is one and meant to be shared fully. Love your brother with your whole heart and mind and soul. To love your brother is to love God and to love yourself. Love him fully, and you will recall the fullness of the truth within you. And so again, Holy Spirit is pointing out that, you know, wanting to hold on to my old life that I had built for me was really a desire to hold on to specialness, which would really be a desire to hold on to Regina. And Holy Spirit is encouraging me to take those first steps of letting go of the belief in the individual separated self by asking me to love my brother as myself. That's really the essence of this message. Loving my brother as myself, giving all to all, giving my brother my gratitude as I would give myself my gratitude, my patience as I would give myself my patience, sharing with him my love and my wisdom and embracing his love and his wisdom. Holy Spirit saying it's all the same. His glory is my glory, and my glory is his glory. And celebrate it together. Feast on it together. So he's really getting into the sameness here. Sameness, of course, leads to oneness, because through sameness we let go of specialness. So another beautiful message from the Holy Spirit, just preparing me during these early days as I walked along with him. So I will let go of the mic for a second and see if anybody has anything to share before we move into the month of June. Okay, I think a couple people have entered the room since I started, so let me give you the link again. There you are. We're at reginadonacres.com. And what you want to do now, because that was the last message for the month of May, so if you look at the archives on the right-hand menu, scroll down near the bottom of the archives, all the way down to June 2005, again, pay attention to the year, because there's a few Junes here now. I've had this blog going for quite a while, thanks to Phil Frisk, who started it for me. When you go to June 2005, we want to start at the beginning of the month, and you'll notice that when it pops up at the end of the month. But you'll see the little previous entries link. So you want to click on the previous entries link. It looks like 1, 2, 3 times. And when you click on previous entries 3 times, then you'll want to scroll down. And it looks like we have a question called "What is our glory?" which is Wednesday, June 1st. And I, you know, bet you a dollar. I bet you a dollar that. Oh, in fact, I don't even have to bet you a dollar. I can read the question. So, you know, I'd be stealing a dollar from you now if I bet you. I was going to say I bet you a dollar. I was thinking about the message I received about the movie Fargo, and thinking about my brother's glory being my glory, and some kind of question led to this. But as I'm reading the question, I see it's definitely true, because I said, yesterday you told me that my glory is my brother's and his glory is mine. What is our glory? So certainly as I was considering that message throughout the day, I came up with a question. So let's see what Holy Spirit says. What is our glory? Answer: awareness of self may seem to be a glorious achievement, but it is a humble awareness of the glory that is. It is that glory which you share with your brother. It may seem to be achieved by some and not by others, but it is always present. When you celebrate your brother's glory and your own glory, you invite it to spring forth into your awareness. It comes as it is invited, because it is always there to be seen as you choose to see it. Your invitation to it is your choice to see it. Your celebration of it is your choice to love it, share it, and be it. So again, what Holy Spirit is telling us then is it's not enlightenment that is our glory, which probably at this time I would have thought that. I would have thought to be enlightened is glory, and to not be enlightened is not glory. And Holy Spirit is saying that is not true. Our glory is what we are. And what we are whether we are aware of it or not. So whether we seem to be enlightened or not. And he's saying that as I celebrate that truth, you know, within my brother, within me, whether the awareness is there or not, what I'm really doing is inviting that awareness into my mind. So even though I don't yet have that awareness, by celebrating just through trust, celebrating just through trust that the truth is true and that we are this glorious, magnificent Son of God. By celebrating that, I will come to know that. This is really just another way of expressing giving willingness. It's another way of expressing nursing our willingness to allow it to grow to full will. So I said to the Holy Spirit, I see. So we make the mistake of confusing specialness with glory, and they aren't the same thing at all. Because what I was realizing at this point was when I looked at people that I thought of as enlightened, I saw them as special. I saw them as being glorious or having glory, and the rest of us who were not enlightened, I did not put in the same category. So I was really beginning to recognize this error in my mind that I thought some were special, some were not. Some had glory, some did not. And Holy Spirit, of course, is telling me that we all have the glory all of the time. So Holy Spirit continues, your glory is shared, and your glory is now. There is nothing to achieve. To achieve is to separate, because some may seem to achieve and others may not. One does not achieve enlightenment. One realizes what is. Glory is. Glory is now. Celebrate it now. So notice how he's completely erasing any lines that may seem to divide us on the spiritual path. I mean, he is saying that, you know, I am no different from some person who may seem to be fully enlightened now. And I am also no different than my, you know, biological brother, Roger, who has absolutely no interest in spirituality. And there is no difference between my biological brother Roger and some enlightened master that may be on the earth now. That we all have that same glory right now. right now. And for me at this time, this was a completely new thought, because I would have separated the three. I would have thought the enlightened one was the most glorious, that me being on the spiritual path was the second glorious, and my brother not even caring about spirituality was the least glorious. So I would have separated us. And Holy Spirit is totally correcting that error in my mind. We are all the same. We are all glorious, because we all are what we are in truth right now. Whether we realize it or not is totally, totally irrelevant. We are what we are right now. There's nothing to achieve. So I asked the Holy Spirit, "What else would you share with me on this topic?" Answer: "Your prayers are an invitation to see your glory. Keep praying your prayers and make them a part of your ongoing thought process." So again, he's teaching me to nurse that willingness to become aware of what is. "Put aside thoughts about the world and what there is to be done. Trust me to guide you in your doing." I can still use help with this. I noticed when Laurent was here, Laurent is magnificent, and I'll tell you why he's magnificent. He's magnificent because he never quits thinking about God. Never. Never, ever, ever. He has always got God on his mind. He is always mind-watching. He is always doing the work. And what he would want to do when he was here, which was perfectly correct, is he would want to have these long conversations about God, long conversations about our messages, long conversations about things that were in his mind that he wanted to look at. And sometimes I wanted to do the dishes or mow the lawn or, you know, clean the house, or, you know, answer your emails or make CDs that someone had ordered, you know, or do some work for the Be the Love conference planning. I felt like I had all of these things piling up on me to do. And at times it led to a lot of frustration for me. And so this is one thing I had to keep teaching myself over and over while Laurent was here. I had to keep allowing the current moment to be exactly as it was and not wish for it to be different, not wish for me to be someplace else, doing something else, getting something done. I needed to allow the current moment to be exactly as it was, trust that the Holy Spirit had me exactly where he wanted me to be, and that anything that was not getting done was okay. And I really had to focus on this. I had to use the rat technique, the rest, accept, and trust, with the fact that, with the idea that things were not getting done. Rest, accept, and trust, and allow myself to be in all of these conversations with Laurent, which was the perfect thing for me to do, because it was all of these conversations that led to all of these profound messages. If I had been overly concerned about keeping the house clean, doing the dishes, cooking dinners, all of that, we would not have had those messages. So still something that I had to work on, because I like to have things done, and still something I need to continue to watch my mind on. So Holy Spirit says, put aside thoughts about the world and what there is to be done. You hear that? Hear that, Regina? I'm going to read this to Regina again. You all, please be patient with your sister. Trust me to guide you in your doing. Put aside thoughts about the world and what there is to be done. Trust me to guide you in your doing. Let go of trusting yourself and trust me. Listen, this is what Laurent does. This is why Laurent is so perfect, and this is why he was so perfect of an influence on me. Use your mind to pray, to celebrate, and to invite the awareness of glory. Make ready for your awareness by preparing your mind to welcome it. Make space for it. Prepare a place of honor for it in your mind, with nothing in the way to cloud its light. This is exactly what I admired, still admire about him, is how his mind is always, always, always focused on God. You know, to an observer, it may seem like he's not doing other things that he could be doing. You know, that he could be doing something else other than just talking about God all day. But as we can see, truly, you know, he's in the right place. And in fact, it's reminding me of a story I read in a book about Jesus's life. I don't remember the name of the book. It may have been Jesus and the Mastership, may have been the name of the book, if that is a book. But I read part of a book once about Jesus' life. And in that book, there was a story about when Jesus was visiting his friends in Bethany, Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. And I don't remember which sister was which. I think that Mary was the one that was sitting with Jesus and Lazarus and discussing God. And Martha was the one that was concerned about getting the dinner cooked, keeping the house clean. And Martha, as Mary just sat at Jesus' feet discussing God with Jesus and Lazarus, Martha became increasingly annoyed with Mary because Mary was not helping her do the things that needed to get done, not helping her with the house, not helping her cook the meal. And as Martha became increasingly annoyed, she continued to do the work, and finally she got the dinner ready, and then Jesus, Mary, and Lazarus didn't get up and come eat it. They kept right on talking about God after Martha had put all this effort all by herself into preparing this meal. And she was getting increasingly annoyed, and finally when she, you know, erupted a little bit, Jesus explained to her that Mary was the one that was in the right. Mary was the one that was in the right, sitting and discussing God and letting everything else go. That was the proper place to be. And so this was something, again, that I learned with Laurent, because all he wanted to do is talk about God. He didn't care at all if anything else got done. And so it was really helpful to have him around. And so, I noticed Mary Ellen saying she needs to hear this too. I'm sure many of us do. But really, if we want to accept the atonement to ourselves, all we need to do is keep our mind focused on God and then let Holy Spirit guide our doing. That which needs to be done will get done, and that which isn't getting done in the moment doesn't need to be done then. And we need to really, really trust this. So again, I'm going to read this one more time. Your prayers are an invitation to see your glory. Keep praying your prayers and make them a part of your ongoing thought process. Put aside thoughts about the world and what there is to be done. Trust me to guide you in your doing. Let go of trusting yourself and trust me. Use your mind to pray, to celebrate, and to invite the awareness of glory. Make ready for your awareness by preparing your mind to welcome it. Make space for it. Prepare a place of honor for it in your mind with nothing in the way to cloud its light. And of course, worrying about whether the lawn is getting mowed or whether the dinner is getting cooked or whether the dishes are getting done, that's having something in the way to cloud the light. So Holy Spirit is asking us to let go of all of that. Have our mind only focused on God, and then any doing that needs to be done will simply be guided. This is the process of accepting the answer, which I have told you is your only responsibility. Now listen to this. This is so perfect. Yet you think you have many responsibilities, right? You think you have to do the dishes. You think you have to mow the lawn. You think you have to clean the bathroom. You think you have to cook the dinner. You think you have to pay the bills. You think you have to answer the emails. You think you have to plan a conference for, 8808. You think you have many responsibilities, but I've told you you have only one. That's what he's saying. I've told you you have only one. This is the process of accepting the answer, which I have told you is your only responsibility. Yet you think you have many responsibilities. How can you have many responsibilities and have only one? One of these thoughts must be a mistake. Right? You either have many responsibilities or you have only one, but they can't both be true. One of these thoughts must be a mistake. Are you willing to accept in faith that you have only one responsibility, and that is to make ready to welcome the aware? And it looks like this got cut off. I'm going to assume this probably said the awareness of your glory. Oh, Pamela, you just missed something that I think would have been wonderful for you to hear. It was very funny, but I think it would have been wonderful for you to hear. But maybe we'll talk about it later. But again, Holy Spirit setting me straight in June 2005, which is perfect timing because I needed to be set straight on this again. I only have one responsibility, and that is to accept the answer or to accept the atonement for myself. And all of the other things that I think I need to do are truly just distractions. If they need to be done, I'll be guided to them. And if I'm not guided to them, they do not need to be done, period. I will let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything they want to share before we move to the next reading. All right, then. We are at reginadonacres.com, and we're reading from June 2005. And you can scroll up, if you're already there, to Thursday, June 2nd. Looks like the Holy Spirit gave me a prayer, an evening blessing, I called it. This is what I wrote down for the evening blessing. You are my precious one, my love, never forgotten, always in my mind. You are my care and my thought. You are my penny from heaven, whom I trust. I put my faith in you and rest well tonight, knowing who you are. You are my love, my one and only, myself. Rest well tonight, and I will rest well beside you. This evening blessing is actually from the Holy Spirit to you. This is the Holy Spirit expressing His love for you. And this, of course, is to put you completely at rest, to feel completely loved, completely comforted, completely safe before you go off to sleep. So this is really a little love letter from the Holy Spirit to you, something for your mind just before going off to sleep. I'll read it one more time. You are my precious one, my love, never forgotten, always in my mind. You are my care and my thought. You are my penny from heaven, whom I trust. I put my faith in you and rest well tonight, knowing who you are. Now think about that for a moment. Some of us who may still be stuck on our own unworthiness may find it very difficult to believe that the Holy Spirit trusts me. And of course, this is all symbols, but that the Holy Spirit rests well knowing who I am. Anyone who is still stuck on unworthiness may find that very hard to believe, but yet, by giving us this as an evening blessing, the Holy Spirit is asking us to put our willingness and our faith with that thought. That when the Holy Spirit looks at us, He loves us. He trusts us. He rests well knowing who we are. Obviously, the Holy Spirit sees us differently than we do. And this is reminding me of A Course in Miracles, the section called The Two Evaluations. Because there's our evaluation of us, which of course is the ego's evaluation of us, and then there's the Holy Spirit's evaluation of us. And what A Course in Miracles asks us to do in that particular section is to learn to trust the Holy Spirit's evaluation of us above our own evaluation of us. And of course, this evening blessing is really asking us to do the same thing by being willing to accept this blessing before we go to sleep at night. We are accepting the Holy Spirit's evaluation of us over our own ego evaluation. I noticed that Jerry has his or her hand up. Jerry, please take the mic.
Hi, Regina. Yeah, I'm at my friend Jerry's house. This is Steve, and I didn't know we never tried his, I don't know if you can hear me or not. I never tried his microphone before. I'm guessing you can. Hi, Regina. Cool. Yeah, I was remembering that story that you're sharing before, and I think I heard it differently. I don't know if it was in the Bible or somebody sharing about it in the Bible, the previous story about Mary and Martha. And the neat thing about what I heard, I thought, was like Martha was one that was in the cooking, just like Claudette said. And Martha was saying, like, well, I'm the one that's doing all the work. I'm the one that's doing the serving and all that stuff like that, you know. And then Jesus said to her, and it was probably in a different book, maybe a different story, similar to the story, and he said, the one that sits at my feet and listens is doing just as much or more service than the one that's doing all the cooking and cleaning. And he says something like, well, I'll only be here for a short time, and it's very important. The one that sits and listens, you know, and listens to God or listens to Jesus or whatever, is doing just as much or more of a service than the one that's doing all the cooking and cleaning and stuff like that. So it was, it's not really different than what you said. It was just that maybe I heard a different story. I was just trying to remember. I'm thinking I'm remembering it right and stuff like that. So, yeah, Jerry listens to you pretty often on Wednesdays if he gets a chance, and likes the tapes quite a bit too. So thank you for letting me share. Here's the mic back.
Yeah, Steve, it's great to hear your voice, and hello, Jerry. And yeah, Pamela, that's the book. I can't remember the exact name of it. I was thinking it was Jesus and Mastership. You're saying Jesus and Mastery. If anybody knows the correct name of that book, please write. Yeah, Jesus and Mastership, I think, is the name of it. Yeah, that's the book that story comes out of. It's an interesting book. I didn't read all of it. I only read the beginning part. But I found it to be very interesting. I learned a lot of cute little symbolic lessons out of the beginning of that book. So again, here's the Holy Spirit making love to us before we go to bed at night. Here we go, an evening blessing. You are my precious one, my love, never forgotten, always in my mind. You are my care and my thought. You are my penny from heaven, whom I trust. I put my faith in you and rest well tonight, knowing who you are. You are my love, my one and only, myself. Rest well tonight, and I will rest well beside you. How nice is that? So we don't have to sleep alone tonight. That's beautiful. And I'll tell you what, it's also reminding me of a Josh Groban song. So maybe what I'll do when I get done teaching is post this evening blessing along with a link to YouTube, to the Josh Groban song. And then everybody can read the evening blessing, listen to the song, and then go to bed tonight with Holy Spirit. And none of us will have to sleep alone at all tonight. That'll be really wonderful. All right, if you want to, click on Next Entries. And when you click on Next Entries, you then want to scroll down to the bottom of the page. And when you scroll to the bottom of the page, oh, we have, it says a morning blessing, but I don't see it here. Let me see if I can find it. Nope, nope, nope. It looks like it got eaten. So it says there's a morning blessing there, but I do not see it. It's posted in Thoughts from Holy Spirit. Hold on one second. Let me see if I can find this morning blessing. Nope, nope, nope. So it looks like the morning blessing got eaten, and it looks like also from Friday, June 3rd, to you from Holy Spirit got eaten. They're not here. So let's scroll on up to Friday, June 3rd. If I can find the morning blessing, I will post it along with the evening blessing when I post the Josh Groban song, so people will have the blessing for when they wake up in the morning too. How's that sound? It's probably in my paper journal. I'm sure I can find it. If we go to Friday, June 3rd, simply think of me. Holy Spirit says, you would do well today to remember me in all things. Simply think of me as you complete your tasks and as you interact with your brothers. Look for me and you will see I am there. Close your eyes and ask to feel me, and I will touch you. See me as your constant companion, and you will be opening yourself to seeing the truth as it is always, for I am your constant companion, loving you and never leaving you. So again, the Holy Spirit loving us. Once again, obviously this was a time that I needed this closeness with the Holy Spirit, because he seems to be giving me a lot of closeness. I must have been feeling some kind of distance at the time. So Holy Spirit is coming very, very close, almost like a lover, which is now reminding me of a Scott Kallikstein song. which I don't know if I have it here, because I got so much stuff out in the car. No, I don't think I have it here. I think it's out in the car. There's a Scott Kallikstein song that I'm thinking of right now that that goes great with this, where it talks about seeing my beloved in everything. And, of course, my beloved would be the Holy Spirit. And in this case, the Holy Spirit is looking at me as, you know, my beloved. But this very close, this very personal relationship with the Holy Spirit can be very, very helpful in learning to keep the Holy Spirit on our minds all of the time. Because as you all know, you know, when we're falling in love with someone, we find ourselves thinking about that someone all of the time. It is very, very natural to have our mind on that one all of the time. So if we can see the Holy Spirit in that same way, if we can have that same closeness with the Holy Spirit, fall in love with the Holy Spirit, we will find ourselves thinking about the Holy Spirit all of the time. And that is very, very helpful. That's a wonderful stepping stone. And it looks like something that the Holy Spirit was really guiding me towards during this time, because I'm getting lots of almost romantic, or maybe I can even take the word almost out. Maybe they're definitely romantic. Love symbols from the Holy Spirit, trying to teach me to have the Holy Spirit on my mind all of the time. So let me just read this one more time from my very romantic Holy Spirit. You would do well today to remember me in all things. Simply think of me as you complete your tasks and as you interact with your brothers. Look for me and you will see I am there. Close your eyes and ask to feel me and I will touch you. See me as your constant companion and you will be opening yourself to seeing the truth as it is always, for I am your constant companion, loving you and never leaving you. So there we go, the Holy Spirit. Let's scroll on up to Saturday, June 4th. Another short little message from the Holy Spirit. I remember this one. I reposted this one not too long ago. And in fact, I remember this day. This is the day that I was having my garage sale. I was selling, you know, a lot of my belongings because, again, we were going to be moving to North Carolina soon. And my house in Boston was much larger than my house here, so we had to get rid of a significant amount of our stuff had to go. So this was the day of our garage sale. I remember this well because I was meditating on this all day long while selling our stuff. Holy Spirit said, "Lightning, it shall strike like lightning, your recognition will. And then your eyes will be opened wide, and you will see, and you will laugh. It will be a deep, deep belly laugh, but it will come from the heart, and it shall express your joy for all to hear. It shall be a song as lovely as the birds' morning songs of joy. Awake, it shall roar. Awake, my brothers. Look, we are free." Sorry, the laugh. I felt like Santa doing the laugh there. But I love this message because this message gave me a lot of hope, I would say, a lot of optimism, I would say, because again, this was a time when I was studying A Course in Miracles. I was giving my willingness. I was stepping out of an old life into an entirely new life, but I had not yet had experiences of oneness. I was still only having experiences of separateness. So I was really acting purely on faith. And there was a lot of doubt. Whenever you're acting purely on faith, it's because doubt is still there too. So I love this message because, you know, this message told me that one day, boom, I was just going to get it. Very suddenly, I was just going to get it. And I was suddenly our freedom. I was suddenly going to know. Hold on, I may have lost the mic. Okay, are you all able to hear me okay? I just got an error message. If someone can let me know if you can hear me, that would be great. Okay, I'm going to pop out of the room and come back then. Thank you.
have the mic.
Okay, thank you. It's great to be back. Anyway, as I was saying, what I loved about this message is that, again, at this time I was taking a lot of steps on faith, but when you take a lot of steps on faith, it really means that there is still doubt there too. So there was really a lot of fear. So I loved this message because the Holy Spirit seemed to be telling me that someday I was just going to get it. Just, you know, boom, suddenly I would get it, and I would see all of a sudden that we are free, that we've always been free, and I would always get it. And this message just gave me a lot of hope, and it was a very happy message for me to meditate on that day as I was selling all of my stuff. All right, so let's scroll on up to Sunday, June 5th. Looks like the Holy Spirit's going to maybe get a little more serious with me. I don't know. Let's see. This is called Observe Your Thoughts Today. Peace be to you today. Observe your mind. Watch your thoughts. Notice yourself. Just notice. That's all. Don't react. Don't feel angry or guilty for the thoughts you will find. Simply notice them and let them go all day today. Today is a day of peaceful observation. You are getting to know yourself so you can say goodbye to yourself in love. You must know yourself first so that you know what it is you are saying goodbye to. It is an old friend that you are laying to rest. Observe your friend today. Watch her. You will see that she wants peace. She wants rest. And you are the one to give it to her in love. There is never any loss in God. There is no struggle. Be with your friend today. Observe her in peace. Just watch. And I remember this day very well. This was the day that my office was giving me my going away party. We had a magnificent, it was a beautiful, beautiful day. We met at someone's house in the backyard. Lots of food, beer, and everyone. Everyone came to say goodbye to me. And what that really means is not only were there dear, dear friends there, but there were, of course, a couple of people that I had had a lot of difficulties, a lot of grievances towards. So lots of stuff coming up, you know, with the dear, dear friends, all of the sadness about saying goodbye. All of that was coming up with the people that I still, you know, had some grievances towards or had had hard times with. That was coming up. So it was a day of a lot of thoughts, a lot of thoughts. And it was a wonderful day for Holy Spirit to have given this to me. Because what he really wanted me to observe is that this one who had all of these thoughts, this one we call the ego or the little self or the thinking mind, this one really wasn't happy with her thoughts. You know, her thoughts did not make her happy. There's an inability to relax. There's an underlying stress that's always there, even on a beautiful sunny day, sitting in the backyard amongst friends, barbecuing and drinking beer. Even then, you know, when we should be the most relaxed of all, even then there's this constant chatter, chatter, chatter in the mind. And what Holy Spirit wanted me to do on this day was to observe that constant chatter, chatter, chatter in the mind and realize that I really did want to let go of it. That it really didn't make me happy, that I didn't want to be that self anymore. He just wanted me to observe. And in fact, that's exactly what I did that day. And I distinctly remember being very uncomfortable with the chatter in my mind that day. Very uncomfortable, probably more uncomfortable than Holy Spirit really wanted me to be. I think Holy Spirit really wanted me to step a little more into the observer role than I did. I think what I did was I probably really judged myself for the thoughts I saw in the mind. But I still achieved, the overall goal, which was realizing that I really did want to change the way I think. That the way I thought did not make me happy. And again, that day, that scene, was the perfect opportunity to do this work. Sitting in the sunshine with my sunglasses on and a beer in my hand, observing that even then I could not relax. because the mind just was going and going and going all the time. So let me just read this message to you one more time. Peace be to you today. Observe your mind. Watch your thoughts. Notice yourself. Just notice, that's all. That's the mistake I made. I don't think I did the just notice, that's all. I went into the judging of myself. So it was a little harsher that day than it needed to be. But like I said, the overall goal was achieved. I learned the overall lesson. Just notice, that's all. Don't react. Don't feel angry or guilty for the thoughts you will find. Simply notice them and let them go all day today. Today is a day of peaceful observation. You are getting to know yourself so you can say goodbye to yourself in love. You must know yourself first so that you know what it is you are saying goodbye to. It is an old friend that you are laying to rest. And notice the word rest. That's what we're really doing. We're resting the ego. We're resting the thinking mind. It is an old friend that you are laying to rest. Observe your friend today. Watch her. You will see that she wants peace. She wants rest. And you are the one to give it to her in love. There is never any loss in God. There is no struggle. Be with your friend today. Observe her in peace. Just watch. So that was the message for the day of my going away party, Sunday, June 5th. It looks like I received another message as well on June 5th. I don't know if I received both in the morning or if one was in the morning and one was in the evening. I really don't remember. But let's go ahead and read this other message too. It's called Healing is All the World is For. Healing is all the world is for. It has no other purpose. All other purposes are purposes of the imagination and serve only to distract from the true purpose of the world. Choose not distraction today. Grasp joyously at the purpose the Holy Spirit gives the world. Enjoy its gifts and learn willingly from them. For every gift, regardless of its seeming form, has but one purpose attached to it, and that is your awakening. Come home to me, my son. Awaken. So again, the Holy Spirit just reminding us that the world only has one purpose in the eyes of the Holy Spirit, and that purpose is to awaken. I think I'm going to read one more, and then I'm going to stop. I know Dove said I could do an hour or an hour and a half, whatever I wanted to do, but it looks like this next message, love your brothers, it looks like that might be a great place to stop. Steve, I notice you have your hand up. Please go ahead and take the mic.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I was noticing that sentence in there where it says, it is an old friend you are laying to rest. Observe your friend today and watch her. It seems to me like when I let go of one of those blocks of the awareness of love's presence, there's a mixed emotion there, like there's sadness and joy at the same time. You know what I mean? It seems like there is an old friend that we trusted for a long time when we believed in the ego thought system, and now we just realize that it no longer serves a purpose, so it's like ending a friendship. So I thought that was kind of powerful. That's what kind of came up for me when I heard you read that about an old friend you're laying to rest. To me, it's always seemed like I've had mixed emotions. I would be crying, and it would be happy, but also there'd be some sadness mixed in with it. So it was interesting that that line came up there, because that's what I think came up for me when I heard you read that and stuff, like it's kind of a mixed feeling at the time.
Yeah, Steve, I've had the same experience. Not all of my letting goes. It really depends on how much we still value it. If there's still some value there as we're letting go, we will experience sadness in the letting go process, but we still let go through willingness, because the willingness to let go is stronger than the value to hold on, or we wouldn't let go. But as I mentioned, when I was guided to leave the Boston area and come here, I did it because I wanted to. But I cried in doing it. I cried, there were actually several parties. I had several sets of friends, like my work friends, my daughter's friends, my neighborhood friends. So there were several goodbye parties, and I cried at every one of them. and I cried my last day at work, and, I cried driving out of town, So there was a lot of sadness there. And also, Steve, I know that you were with me all summer when Holy Spirit was guiding me to leave one relationship, a relationship I'd been in for 16 years, and then go into this new relationship with Laurent. And as you know, I was very willing to do that, very willing to follow that guidance. But you may have even been in the room one day when, while teaching, I broke down crying because there was still, although I was completely willing to do it, there was still sadness in letting go of the old relationship. But obviously, in both cases, I'm sure you know, absolutely the right thing to do. Because if I had not left Boston, left my job, and come to North Carolina, we would not have NTI, you know, and I wouldn't change that for anything. And if I had not let go of my ex-boyfriend and joined with Laurent, we would not have all of those messages that the Holy Spirit gave us, profound, incredibly helpful messages that came while he and I were together for 6.5 weeks. So obviously, you know, following the guidance is the right thing to do, and there are no regrets. In fact, I'm incredibly joyous and grateful for the guidance the Holy Spirit has given me. But sometimes in the letting go, in the stepping forward, sometimes there is a sadness, and that's okay. We're letting go of an old friend. That's exactly what we're doing. We're letting go of an old friend, but we're realizing ourselves, and that is going to bring us a whole lot more joy. So I'm feeling like reading this one more message and then stopping there because I'm getting a little bit sleepy. So I'm going to read this message called Love Your Brothers, and then I'll go make the posts to the Peace of God that I promised along with the Josh Groban song so we can all, you know, get our romantic fix from the Holy Spirit before we go to bed tonight and also our morning blessing if I can find that. And then as you know, I'll be back on Friday at 2 o'clock for the NTI study group, and we're going to be starting with 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And then, as Jasmine mentioned, she will be following from 3 to 3:30 with her very first teaching in ACIM Gather, and she's very excited about that, and I'm really grateful that you all are going to allow her to come in and teach, because I know from my own experience that teaching is the best way to learn. And my God, to start teaching at age 10, can you guys imagine? Can you imagine the opportunity that has been given to her? So it's really wonderful. It'll be fun to see how she grows up with all of us around her as she grows. All right, so here we go. The last reading of the night. Love your brothers. Your message today is a simple one. Love your brothers. Hold them and hug them and welcome them as you. Celebrate your wholeness. Love your brothers. Welcome them home. Bless them with your love. With that, I love you all, and I give you a great big virtual hug. Good night, sleep tight, and I'll see you on Friday. Bye.